And old preacher John Jasper said, if you is what you was, then you ain't. I'm glad God will make a difference in your life. Amen. God will get you out of the pit and put you in the pew. God will get you out of the mire and put you in the choir. Here, take a beer bottle out of your hand and replace it with the King James Bible. I believe that. I believe God will take an old hard-hearted gambler and put him in the house of God, put money in an offering plate. Now, I know it'd take God to do that, but I'm glad God can do it. Amen. Amen. Nothing too hard for our God. And I praise the Lord for what I've already felt. And I'm not kidding you. I could leave right now and say that it is good for us to be here. Amen. I've enjoyed it. Listen, ain't nobody ever had to pump and prime me to get me in the house of God.
Amen.
I believe drunks hang around drunks, gamblers hang around gamblers, dopers hang around dopers, Christians hang around Christians, Amen. Christians hang around the house of God.
That's right.
Now, I didn't want to go until I got saved because I didn't have nothing in common with those people. But ever since I got born again, I've got things in common with the people of God. Been washed in the same blood, born of the same Spirit, serving the same Father, going to the same place. Amen. So I'm glad that I'm saved this morning. I appreciate the presence of God. So I'm just going to enjoy myself. I don't know what to be but just me. So that's what I'm going to be. Amen. By the grace of God. All right. Matthew chapter number 27 this morning. Matthew chapter number 27. How in the world am I going to get somebody excited about something if I'm not excited about it? Now, I'd hate to know that crowd think they get more excited about somebody running a bunch of zipped up air up and down green grassy field and think they're getting a bargain for $5. I'd hate for that crowd to get more excited about it than I am. Amen. I'm still excited about serving God. You say, preacher, you're getting a little bit too loud. Now, I wonder what happened now when Junior hit the grand slam to win a T-ball game. Oh, they get real excited, loud, throw just near about cussing, and then come to the house of God and say, what in the world got into him? Listen, I tell you, I'm excited about being saved. Hey, it's been 9 years. People say, well, now, preacher, you'll settle down in a little bit. And I have my buddy say it's just an overnight thing. He'll be back here in about 6 months. If it's an overnight thing, been a long night. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27. And I appreciate God allowing us to come. Been looking forward. Looking forward to coming. Quite some time. I had heard of Brother Powers, and I think it may have been down at Brother Ball's or somewhere. And I had heard of Brother Powers, but I never heard him preach. Boy, I tell you what, God sent that man of God over at White Oak. And son, I think I squalled the whole message. I mean, the whole thing. And it was tremendous. And God needed to do something in my heart to get me where, you know, I always want to stay tender. I always want my heart to be right. And God used your pastor to do that. And I bless the Lord for it and thank God for it. Matthew chapter number 27. There have been some moments in history that have had enormous impact worldwide. Some of them have been tragic. Of course, the September 11th with the Twin Towers. I'm talking about things in history that we remember, or we may not even been there, but it is things that stand out in history in our minds. Some of tragic and some of triumph. Many dates may come into our mind, but there is not a place and not an event in history that has had more impact than what I'm going to read about this morning. As notable as they are, they do not even compare to the magnitude of what happened at a hill called Calvary. Now, I want you to look in verse number 44. Matthew chapter number 27, as our custom is, we stand as we read the Word of God. We reverence the Word of God all the time. Matthew 27 and verse number 44, the Bible said, the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Thank you. You can be seated. I'm reminded of an account that I'd heard. A gentleman had went in to talk to Mr. R.A. Torrey. And that gentleman had a son, and his son thought that he had gone too far, that God would not save him, that he had gone too far for God to do a work in his life. He thought he'd gone out and sinned too much. He had hardened his heart too much. So this man that was a friend of Mr. Torrey came before Mr. Torrey and said, Dr. Torrey said, my son does not think he can be saved. He thinks he's gone too far. He thinks that God does not love him and will not save him. Mr. Torrey looked at the young man. He said, young man, do you believe the Bible? He said, yes, sir, I do, but you don't understand. Mr. Torrey said, son, I didn't ask you that. He said, do you believe the Bible? That young man said, well, yes, sir, I do. He said, son, the Bible said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He said, you believe that? He said, yes, sir, I do. But Mr. Torrey, he said, wait just a minute, son. He said, the Bible said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He said, son, what you need to do is get on your knees and call on God. That young man got on his knees right there in front of R.A. Torrey, and he called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and God saved that young man that day. That young man's name was William Newell. Years later, William Newell would write, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. So what I want to preach on this morning, I want to preach on the touch of Calvary. The touch of Calvary. Now, I've seen gamblers become godly because of the touch of Calvary. I've seen harlots become holy because of the touch of Calvary. I've seen drunks get delivered because of the touch of Calvary. I'm glad that I had been to Calvary. Now, people say, preacher, we're going to make reservations for you to go with us to the Holy Land. We want you to go to Jerusalem with us to tour the Holy Land. We want you to go. We want you to see that place. Listen, I tell them as nice as I can. They say, well, that's going to cost you about $1,500. Cost you maybe $2,000 with all the food and everything. But I tell them just as nice as I can, listen, I appreciate the invitation, but I've already been there and didn't cost me a dime. Amen. Hey, listen, I tell you what, you can get on an airplane, go to the first heaven. You can get on a spaceship and go to the second heaven. But you better make sure you made a trip to Calvary, amen, if you plan on getting into the third heaven. And I'm glad that I've been to Calvary. I'm still excited about an old rugged cross. That made a difference in my life. Changed my life, got me out of the muck and mire, put me in the house of God with a Bible in my hand, gave me a family, gave me hope when I didn't have no hope. And you can't get that way, amen, if you don't make a trip to Calvary. Calvary is the battleground for all eternity. And it is the basis for eternal life. That's why Paul said in Galatians 6:14, he said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, when you hear this verse on the Church of Christ broadcast, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Romans 1:16 said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm glad I can look at Calvary and know that Jesus loved me. I'm glad he loved the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. I'm glad that he loved the church in John 3:16. I'm thrilled he loved the church in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. Not somebody else's. Husbands, love your wives. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm glad he loved the world. I'm thrilled that he loved the church. But I can say along with the Apostle Paul, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I found a friend. friend in Jesus, and I'm glad I found him at Calvary, amen. The Bible said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Romans 5:8 said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, you think about riding up and down the road, your mind wasn't known God, never thought about God, and God came by your way, dealt with you, and drew you to a place of salvation, amen. What a God. Praise God, that ought to touch you. Amen. You know what? A lot of people today, they look at Calvary, and they still, I see them, they wear these chains and still got Jesus hanging on that cross. I tell them, the Lord lets me witness to them, I say, listen, I say this nice way as I can. He's not on that cross anymore. Buddy, I tell you what, we don't worship some Catholic God, because their God's not our God. Amen. That's right. Listen, he's not on the cross anymore. I'm glad he's alive forevermore. What they want that Jesus in a manger, a lot of them do, but they don't want that Jesus to be Lord of their life. They don't like, they like the Jesus to walk in on the water, but they don't like the suffering and the shame that Jesus endured for you and I at an old rugged cross. Isaiah 53:5 said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. Now, an iniquity, that is an inward wound. The Bible said he was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Iniquity is inward. Bruise is inward. He took our inward sins, malice, bitterness, anger, hatred. He took all that sin to Calvary. He took our outward sin, transgression. It's outward. He's wounded. Wound is an outward. Hey, he took all our sins, inward and outward. Every one of my sins went to Calvary, amen. And if the last one seen them don't know where they are, me and you ought to leave them alone, amen. Hey, I thank God he took care of all my sins. Now, I may ride down the roads to Calhoun. They say, I remember old Randy Sutherland, what he did. I remember what he was. Thank God, but there's a Father up in heaven says, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Thank God, I'm glad that between me and the flames of hell is the blood of an old rugged cross. I'm glad the blood of God will make a difference in your life. You can feel the touch of Calvary. I want you to look, first of all, come with me to a hill now outside of Jerusalem. And I want you to see, although Jesus was nailed to a cross that day, his hands and feet were nailed to that hewn timber, he was still able to touch seven areas. I want you to look, first of all, look at verse number 45. The Bible said, now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land to the ninth hour. First of all, he touched the sun. The S-O-N touched the S-U-N. Now, for the first 3 hours here at Calvary, there was light, but the last 3 hours, darkness shrouded that land to what is known today as Palestine. And liberals will say, now, don't you understand that this is an eclipse, and it really didn't happen that way. And when you get a little more educated, sir, you'll find out that not all the Bible is true, and there's a lot of fiction in there. Listen, I tell you what, everything in the Bible is true from end to amen. And listen, he touched the sun that day. They say, now, it's just an eclipse going on, and it really happened that way. Hey, listen, this was a time of a Passover, and they didn't have the Passover. It was always during a full moon, and you can't have an eclipse during a full moon, amen. So I tell that crowd, har, har, hearty, har, har, amen. Listen, I'm glad that the S-O-N touched the S-U-N that day, because he was very God to show them that he was the creator of the sun. He was the creator of everything, amen. Hey, listen, I know the Bible said in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Hey, when you look at Calvary, you'll see God hanging on that tree. You say, preacher, how can that be? How can it be? Listen, I don't understand how a black cow eats green grass and puts out white milk, amen, but I'm still going to drink the milk. There's some things you can't figure out. You just faith out, amen. And that was very God. That was God in the flesh hanging on that cross. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I like verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Listen, I'm telling you, He touched the sun that day. It was creation mourning out for her Creator. I'm talking about the sun now, 93 million miles away. It'd take billions of years for the sun to burn out. But just like that, the last 3 hours, God shrouded that area in honor of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He was God. Amen. Still is God. Amen. Amen. He didn't become the Son of God. He is begotten. He wasn't made. He is begotten. There's a difference. Hey, begotten, praise God, He never had a start and won't never have an end.
Amen.
Right, that's it. I'm telling you, He was God hanging on the cross. He had the ability to do that because He created that. He spoke it into existence by the word of His power. I'm glad today that I can say that I don't serve some dead God. I'm glad I serve a God that is alive. You say, preacher, is this thing real to you? Hey, listen, I wish you could have seen me before the Lord got a hold of me. You say, you look pretty rough this morning. You ought to see me before the Lord got a hold of me. Amen. You say, I wonder if this thing's real. Hey, I'm going to tell you something this morning. It's as real as the flesh on your bones. I'm glad Jesus is not a figment of my imagination. I remember when God stepped in my life, that man named Jesus, the same one that touched the sun that day, touched me one day.
Amen.
He touched the sun. I was reading somewhere, I can't remember where it was, but one of the writers had quoted this man by the name of Flagian. He was a Roman astronomer, and his writings, someone had found some of his writings. This man named Flagian, a Roman astronomer, was quoted, not an astrologer now, there's a difference. A Roman astronomer, and he was there, and he was quoted as saying, "The day so turned into night that stars appeared." Well, I read that and I thought, man, that's pretty good. There's an eyewitness to that account. Now, I receive it by faith. I didn't have to be there. I receive it by faith. But I thought that's pretty good. There's a man there, a Roman astronomer, a man that probably didn't even know God was there and testified to the fact that stars appeared that day. Jesus was crucified at 9 in the morning. He was right there at midday at 12 o'clock in the middle of the day. Darkness came in, so dark that stars came out. Buddy, that's a miracle, and I'm glad God's still in the miracle performing business today. Well, I read that, and I thought, man, that's pretty good. Flagian. Phlegon. That's his name. Well, I don't know how long went by, and I got to reading one morning there in the book of Romans. And I got down to Romans 16, verse 14. You can read it when you get home. Paul's giving his salutations to the church members in Rome. I mean, that body made up of Jew and Gentile in that Roman church. Paul's writing to the church in Rome, and he's saying, salutations to this person. Be like me and you say, tell so-and-so, I said hello. Tell such-and-such, I said hello. And he begins to go through a list of names. If you look in Romans 16, verse 14, there's a man named Flagian. Phlegon. You say, preacher, you think that's the same Flagian that was there that day? Let me ask you something. You got an uncle named Flagian? You haven't met anybody named Flagian? You haven't run across anybody named Flagian? No, you hadn't. And I hadn't either. I tell you who it was. It was that same man that was there that day. He saw God perform the miracles. He trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, got saved, and join the church, amen. I believe that. Right? He touched the sun. I remember when I was still working a full-time job up in Dalton, I sold hardwood floor, and I had a great boss to work for, and he allowed me to do this, and I praise the Lord for it. He said, Randy, when you close the deal and you got the money in your hand, you got them loaded up, you feel like God wants you to witness to them, go ahead. Well, this man came in one day, and he was, that's pretty good, ain't it? This man came in. He wasn't there to buy. He was a hardwood flooring installer. Well, see, they operate on us giving them business. So I knew I had him where I wanted him. I knew I wasn't going to lose nothing out of that. And they always, you know, try to come in, butter us up where we'd recommend them to install flooring. He came in and gave Carl a real nice fella. And, you know, sometimes you got to be careful because he looked like a Christian. He really did. And I was talking to him, and he went outside, and I felt the Lord. And you know, a lot of times we probably blame God with some stuff that He didn't have nothing to do with. Amen. We just might as well say, hey, I didn't come in with no halo on, no wings tacked to my back. But I definitely felt impressed the Holy Spirit to talk to that man about God. We went outside. He's getting his vehicle. I said, sir, are you going to heaven when you die? He said, oh, no, I'm going to reign with Jesus on this earth. I was like, I've got hooked up with something here. Now, let me figure out what it is. I said, sir, where do you go to church at? He said, I go to the Kingdom Hall down in Marietta. Well, I knew then he was Jehovah's false witness. Well, as I began to talk to him, I said, sir, when did you get born again? And he had an answer for everything. And I knew where I was going. Sometimes you got to be wise as a servant, harmless as a dove. And I began to talk to him about how God changed my life and about how our works are never going to be able to be get good enough, and that how Jesus Christ was not only the Son of God, but God the Son. He said, you believe in three gods? I said, no, we don't either, friend. Hey, we don't believe in one plus one plus one. We believe one times of an equal part, times an equal part, times an equal part. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. One times one times one. I don't care where you go, we're still one. Amen. We believe in one God manifested in three distinct personalities, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three in one, one in three, and one in the middle died for me. Amen. And I began to talk to him about that. I said, sir, who's that in Revelation chapter number 1, verse 5? And from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. He said, that's Jesus. I said, are you sure about that? He said, yes, I am. I said, who's this then in verse number 7 of Revelation 1, behold, he cometh in the cloud, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. I said, who is that? He said, that's Jesus. I said, are you sure about that? He said, yes, I am. I had my Bible, amen. I said, let's turn over here to Zechariah chapter number 12, verse 10. We turned over to Zechariah 12, verse 10. I said, what's that word there? The Lord, right? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. I said, that's Jehovah, isn't it? He said, yes. I said, you're Jehovah's Witness, ain't you? He said, yes. I said, well, that word Lord is Jehovah God. He said, oh, you know that word. I said, absolutely. He's my God. I said, let's keep on reading. We read all the way through that chapter, Zechariah 12. And many, many times it mentions the word Lord, Jehovah. I said, sir, read verse number 10. You know what it says in Zechariah 12, verse 10? The Bible said, and I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. And he said, and they shall look. And I said, this is God talking, ain't it? This is Jehovah talking, ain't it? He said, it is. I said, the Bible said, read it, sir. He said, and they shall look upon me, whom they pierced. Buddy, I tell you what, he looked at me like his mother-in-law moved in with seven suitcases. He took his bat and ball, went on down the road. You say, preacher, did he get saved? I don't know if he got saved, but praise God, I'm telling you, the word of God will get the job done, and maybe God will use it to get a hold of his heart. I'm glad, thank God, that was God hanging on the cross. Oh, tell me that story of Jesus. Right on my heart, every word, how he left the portals of glory with the angels saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Came down to be born of a virgin. Thank God that story don't ever get old to me. Born of a virgin. Walked on this earth 33 and a half years. Had no sin, did no sin, could not have sinned. Instead of trying to get out of it, he got in it, amen. He laid down his life to give you and I this great salvation. I'm so glad I'm saved this morning. I can't hardly stand it, amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad I'm, if you can't tell, I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He touched the Son.
That's right.
Amen. That's my introduction. Y'all don't get scared. I'm kidding. He touched the Son. Verse number 45. Verse number 46. He touched the Scriptures. The Bible said in verse number 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli. Lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, he quotes Psalm 22 here. What is referred to, and I know that you know this, but Psalm 22, 23, and 24 are what's referred to as a trilogy of messianic psalms. It's all referring to Jesus. Well, here is the psalmist David probably not really even realizing what he's saying. But Psalm 22, verse 1, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What that did, that's a foreshadowing of the Messiah that would come. Well, Jesus quotes this same verse. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, if you went through the book of Matthew, you'd find 11 times in Matthew's gospel there's a quote that he uses, and it says that it might be fulfilled. Five times in the book of John, it says that the scripture might be fulfilled. You'll say, what you saying, preacher? I'm saying on this day when Jesus was crucified at Calvary's cross, he was continually fulfilling the prophecies up to his dying breath to show them that the word of God was correct and that he was fulfilling all the types and shadows that were forespoken in the Old Testament. John 5:39 said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Hey, listen, sometimes when we turn in our hymn book, this is a hymn book, amen. It's all about him, H-I-M. It's all about Jesus. If you read this Bible and don't see Jesus, go back and read it again. Hey, he was that animal that was killed there in the Garden of Eden. That animal that was sacrificed. The innocent dying for the guilty. Everything in this Bible. That blood that was shed in Exodus chapter number 12 was foreshadowing the blood of the Lamb of God. And John the Baptist said it right. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this Bible's running right on time. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution, it won't be any more up to date than your King James Bible when it comes off the presses. I'm glad this Bible's right. Everything's running right on schedule. You say, preacher, you getting shook up about all this going on with Iran and Iraq? No, I'm not, friend. Iran is just modern-day Persia. Iraq is the Babylonian, and they just coming together just like he said it was in Ezekiel. I believe the battle of Gog and Magog is very imminent, but I'm glad the church is checking out, amen. We won't be here. I'm glad he died right on time, crucified right on time, got up right on time, and he's coming back right on time. Hey, listen, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he said, I've not appointed you to wrath, but obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, we're going to be out of town for 1 week, amen. We checking out of here like Superman, coming back like the Lone Ranger, amen. Hallelujah. Right, he touched the scriptures. Psalm 109 verse 25 said he's going to be mocked by the spectators. Psalm 69 verse 21 said he's going to be physically thirsty. Psalm 34 verse 20 said not a bone of his body would be broken. Over 700 years of prophet Isaiah thundered, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. We esteemed him not. We said he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was numbered with the transgressors. All those writings of the Old Testament, all those Old Testament prophets say one day he's a-coming. He's a-coming. He's a-coming. John the Baptist said he's here. He's here. He's here. Hey, buddy, I tell you, don't get shook up about all this stuff going on. It's supposed to get rough right now. I believe we're living in the last of the last days. And the Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Hey, these little liberal theological seminaries, they'll take, you know what Bible they persecute? They don't persecute the NIV or the NKJ. A-V or the M-I-C-K-E-Y. They don't persecute those verses, those versions. You know which are the only one they persecute? It's this old King James Bible. Thank God, I'm glad it's water when you're thirsty. It's bread when you're hungry. What they'll do, they'll take this Bible. They'll die sick and ridicule it. He just keeps right on going. They'll persecute it and say it don't mean that. They'll try to change it. That Bible just keeps on going. They'll say we can't do nothing with it. It just comes right out the other side of that seminary and says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I'm glad I got the word of God. I don't have to walk around in the dark. And the Bible's true all the way through. Amen. Amen. He touched the scriptures.
Yes, sir.
I'm saying you can have faith in the word of God.
Yes,
you can lay it all on the line. Radicals have refused it. Liberals laugh at it.
Yes,
diabolical dynasties have tried to destroy it. But this Bible still shines as a beacon in the night. It's alive, for the word of God's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Right.
Buddy, I'm glad I'm not looking for the word of God. I got it, amen.
Amen.
Hey, I can't say I can understand every bit of it, but I believe every bit of it. Don't
That's
you?
Right. That's
amen.
Right.
I believe it all. He touched the scriptures. Again, I want you to look. Not only to touch the Son, touch the Scriptures, Verse number 51, he touched the sanctuary. The Bible said, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. See, as I said, this was the time of Passover. Approximately 3 million Jews were in Jerusalem during these days to partake of that Passover. They had to, male representatives had to bring in either a turtle dove or a lamb or a goat or something like that, depending upon their social status. Well, no doubt, droves of families are coming into Jerusalem. They hear about this miracle worker by the name of Jesus. Well, many of them, they just keep right on with their sacrifice. The book of Hebrews tells us that with those sacrifices comes that reminder of sin. No doubt those men and women, boys and girls, are coming into Jerusalem. They're bringing in those sacrifices year after year after year. Mama, what's Daddy doing, honey? He's out there looking for that perfect lamb. Why, Mama? Well, son, there's going to be one day that that perfect lamb would come. See, Hebrews 11 said they looked forward, not having received the promise, but embraced them, having seen them from afar off. Right. See, they saw the foreshadowing. And one day, there would somebody come that would shed their blood, and there'd be no more need for the sacrifice. Amen. Well, the Bible said that Jesus spoke. Hey, he said with a loud voice. Hey, not like some little old pipsqueak. I'm glad he said with a loud voice. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top. Not from man to God, but from God to man. And it's always been that way. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. And the Bible said that it was the veil of the temple was rent from twain from the top to the bottom. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying they was in that temple bringing in their sacrifices. Many of them sitting around, and they had to take the word. That high priest went in there only one time a year, and not without blood. On the bottom of his garment, he had the bells. He had the pomegranates, and those bells were ringed. And they knew if that high priest went in there with sin in his life, that God would kill him. Well, as long as those bells were ringing in there, they knew that everything was okay. Well, that high priest would go in there. No doubt those people were out there in that congregation assembled. And there's that high priest, and they hear those bells ringing back in the holies of holies. But there's a sign up, said, do not enter. You can't come in here. Only this high priest can come in, and not without blood. But after this day, the Bible said the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. I can see that crowd there. All of a sudden, whick, that veil of the temple was rent in twain. That high priest is back there in the holiest of holies. And people look in there at him, and he's looking back out at them. And they say, hey, I didn't even know what it looked like back there. They always had to take somebody else's word for it. Hey, I'm glad this morning I don't have to take some fellow's word for it. I'm glad I don't have to look at some knothole and a knothead, amen, dresses up like my mama and they call him Papa. I'm glad I don't have to go to Vatican City. Ever since the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, I'm glad it don't matter. Black, white, yellow, red, boy, girl, man, woman, if you've been born again by the grace of God, you can enter into the holiest, amen, through the blood of Jesus. I'm glad I got access this morning.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes, Brother Powers, I get down. You'll say, you? Yes. I need some help. I'm glad I don't have to go through a lot of rosary bead counting. I'm glad I don't have to go and speak to somebody that's here on this earth. It's got eyes that can't see, ears that can't hear, hands that can't handle. I'm glad this morning that I have a faithful high priest who has entered into the heavens, even Jesus. And the Bible said when he had once purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the only time I found him standing up was when Stephen was preaching, amen. Hey, listen, I'm telling you this morning, if you're heavy, if you've got a burden in your life, if you've got a son that's out in the world, if you've got a spouse that's out in the world, I'm glad this morning he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Thank God prayer can do anything God can do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. I'm talking about prayer, friend. Amen. We can go in, Lord, I want to thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing my life. Count me faithful. Put me in the ministry. Thank you, Jesus. You're ever living to make intercession for me. You know what Jesus says when you do that? He says, amen. That's what unction is, amen.
Jesus is saying, amen. Hey, listen, thank God we can go in and pray. Got access. I don't have to take somebody else's word for it. The Holy Spirit's been sent on the inside. I've just heard from heaven. And the Holy Spirit says it's all right now. We can go into the holiest of holies because he touched the sanctuary. Again, I preached 27 minutes. The stones, verse number 51. Verse 51, he touched the stones. Said the veil of the temple was rent in twain, but at the end of that verse, he said, and the rocks rent. Say, preacher, why? Why did he do that? Well, I know you know the word of God, but most of you are familiar. Jesus came in riding that donkey, fulfilling Zechariah 9, verse 9 of the prophecy, that Messiah would come in and he'd be sitting on that colt. And as he came in, the people strode those palm branches. Palm branches are symbolic of victory. They were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna means, oh, save. Those people were saying, this man will save you and he'll give you the victory. Well, they were praising him and they were worshiping him. And that's the only time I found in the Bible where Jesus did not try to withdraw himself. But he's coming in and those people are there and they're blessing his name. They're saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were raising their voice. They were getting a little loud. You say, preacher, I don't believe all this loud stuff. I don't believe all these. This charismatic. That's not charismatic. Bless your heart, it's automatic. Amen. Praise God. That's right. You know what that sanctimonious crowd said? And I hate to say it. I've been around, son. I've been in some churches. I love them, good people, but they're just not emotional. You don't have to worship God like I worship, and you don't have to praise God like I praise God. But if you're going to be biblical, amen, you need to praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You
say, preacher, now I don't believe that. That's an emotion. Luke 10:20 said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. He said, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
That sanctimonious religious crowd said, Jesus, you better make them calm down now. They're getting a little bit too excited. They're getting a little bit too fanatical. Hey, Jesus, you've raised a bunch of nuts. Hey, I tell you, this crowd drives up and down the road, says that church there in Truth Baptist, they a bunch of nuts. Amen. Hey, listen, if we're a bunch of nuts, we fasten down to the right bolt. Hallelujah. Thank God. Listen, I'm glad when God gets to moving in, it won't hurt you to raise your hand and say amen. It won't hurt you to say hallelujah because the only fire you're ever going to... Hey, you're only going to heaven, going to heaven when you die. You're only going live forever. You're only going to live as long as God lives, and that's forever. Hey, listen, you're not going to hell. You're going to a real street of gold where there's real mansions and a real God where we'll be saying hallelujah up there. Thank God, I want to know how to act before I get there. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God.
Yes, sir.
Some crowd going to be sitting around. Them angels up there saying, holy, holy, holy. Now, I've heard say, I don't like all that loud preaching. Most times what I'm preaching loud about, they don't like. Amen.
That's right.
I don't like all that loud. I thought, you ain't going to like heaven.
Amen.
Right? Heaven's
amen.
A loud place.
Yeah.
Over 10 times in the book of the Revelation, John the writer said, and he said with a loud voice,
right.
I want to know how to act before I get there. I don't want to have to be set aside over there and be taught for 100 years how to praise God. You say, preacher, how you praise God? Just let it out. Now, you can worship God quietly. You can. But you can't biblically praise God without making noise.
Right.
Praise is an overflow of worship.
Right.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts. That's talking about his house.
Right.
Into his courts with praise.
Yes.
That's what your King James Bible says. Amen.
Amen.
Bible said in Psalm 150, people say, I don't believe the Old Testament. Well, you need to quit saying in the beginning God created heaven and earth. I've had them say, well, now that's Old Testament, preacher. That's Old Testament. Well, praise God, listen. Everything Jesus preached was out of the Old Testament.
That's right.
Psalm 150, verse number 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. That's not talking about at the BFW, amen. That's talking about getting into glory, amen, when there wasn't nobody else around. Old David had the holy dance. I'm telling you, when God brought that Ark of the Covenant in, old Michael, his wife, said, did not the king of Israel, didn't you look good today? I believe David just got praising God by himself. Hey, listen, I wouldn't give you a used dip of snuff, something for somebody that can't praise God out in the woods, going down the road, in the bedroom when there ain't nobody else around, in the prayer closet. Buddy, I tell you, it gets so good you need to see an eye dog get out. Hey, but if you'll praise God out there, hey, when you come in the house of God, there'll be a praise on your lips. There'll be something in your heart. You'll have to let it out or blow a gasket.
Amen.
You say, preacher, what does that word praise mean? I'm glad you asked. Here's what it means. Psalm 150, the word praise, here's what it means. It means to shine, hence to make a show, to boast, and thus to be clamorously foolish. Yeah. To rave, to shine, to celebrate. Hey, listen, we don't praise God to impress somebody how spiritual we are. Hey, we all ought to be in hell with our back broke, amen. Without the grace of God, that's where we'd be.
Right.
Buddy, I tell you what, my match will strike on anybody's box. Buddy, I've never been here, and I get nervous. I know you may not tell. I get nervous. When I go someplace I ain't never been before. Buddy, when I sit down in that pew back there, y'all started singing those songs of Zion. You started singing about Calvary. Started singing about the blood. But if you start singing about those kind of things in the heart of a Christian, there'll be something start rising up. Buddy, I tell you what I wanted to do. Hey, I wanted to let it out, amen. I didn't want to hold it in. I don't want to withhold praises to my Lord and my Savior, the one that rescued me, changed my life. I don't want to, and it don't matter what Brother Wigglejaw says or Sister Highbrow says. If you'll praise God, if you'll lift your hands, I promise you the galvanized glory will come down in your heart, and amen. You'll be ready to fight the battle when it comes tomorrow.
Amen.
Many of you are going to have to go right back out in that public job. I know what it's like. But you have to get in the house of God on Sunday, a fueling station, and then go back in Monday and have to face the world. Buddy Billy Kelly said there'll be enough mud holes, enough hospitals, enough funeral homes. Buddy, you better enjoy when God gets around.
That's right.
Yeah. Jesus said, if they hold their peace, that crowd said, make them settle down. Jesus said, if they hold their peace, the rocks would immediately cry out. I read nowhere in the account of the Gospels at Calvary where anybody praised him.
Right.
And the rocks ran. I'm not going to let rocks outpraise me. When I stand before him, I don't want to be ashamed of my praise and worship.
Amen.
I'm not talking about a praise and worship team.
Yeah, right.
I'm not talking about something's got to be pumped and primed up, amen, and get somebody come up here running around with not enough clothes on to give a termite a shoe shine.
Right.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about praise being on our lips.
Right.
I'm talking about when you start singing about God, start singing about the blood.
Yeah.
Buddy, I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't know nothing about praising God. I just know when I went to the house of God, for the first time, when they started singing, when I see the blood, when I see the blood. I didn't know nothing about that high priest entering in once a year. Never read that. Didn't even know it was in the Bible. But there's somebody on the inside. Started saying amen. Buddy, that crowd started saying hallelujah and amen, praising God, raising their hand. Come find out one of them was me, amen. And I've been doing it ever since.
Amen.
It'll help you. You can praise your way out of trouble.
Yes, sir.
You say, preacher, I've got a lot of problems. Oh, I tell you, the Bible said he inhabits the praises of Israel. How much more his bride, his gift to his son, church of the living God. He touched the stones. He touched the soldiers. Verse 54 said, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying truly, this was the Son of God. See, these soldiers were men that were centurions. They were trained. These men had all the knowledge, and they could not become a centurion unless they were mean and rough, rugged men. Many of them would re-enlist in the Roman army after serving for 20 years. They could not shriek at the sight of blood. There were usually four soldiers in charge of every cross. Well, no doubt there's 12 soldiers today. They bring up these two thieves, which I believe personally were involved with Barabbas. Here's these two thieves, and they're brought forth. And then they see another man coming up that hill. And I believe they're expecting to see Barabbas.
Sure.
Well, as they look, it's that miracle worker from Galilee. But they couldn't hardly recognize him. They had to say, who is that? See, Isaiah said his visage was so marred, more than the sons of men. That means he was irrecognizable as a human being.
That's right.
And here he comes, and he bears that cross all the way up that hill. He's coming up that hill, and they look at him, and they said, that's Jesus of Nazareth. That's the one's been causing all the trouble. They bring the man named Jesus. and they lay him down on the cross. And no doubt those centurions, they think they're going to have to hold him down. But he's different than the other two thieves. That's why I read verse 44. The Bible said the same cast in his teeth. That means both the thieves were in agreement. They both were against Jesus.
Right.
Well, here are these centurions. They're expecting to have to hold him down. They always had to hold him down to nail him to a cross. They didn't know Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life." And he goes and he takes his hands and he sticks his hands out. And those centurions look and say, "Wait a minute. There's something different about this man." And they begin to drive those nails into his hands. And he's not trying to get away. They hoist his body up on that cross, exposed, naked for all the world to see. And there's Jesus nailed to the cross. And instead of blaspheming, they look. He looks down at that crowd, at those wicked, rough, rugged soldiers. And he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And those soldiers, for 6 hours, see the Lamb of God crucified, mutilated. And they look at him after 6 hours. They see the miracles, the sun darkened, the earthquake, the rocks rend. They look at him, and those hard-hearted centurions say, "Hey, do you know who that man is in the middle? You see that fella right there named Jesus? He said, that's the Son of God." Oh, I'm glad this morning to report to you that Jesus died on an old rugged cross. God became man where men could become sons of God. And I'm glad he bore my sin. He shed his blood at Calvary because he loves the hard-hearted old soldiers, mean, rough, rugged men. Hey, I've seen Jesus come along in the life of the meanest man in the county, save him by the grace of God, put him in the house of God, make him as meek as a little child. I've seen God invade a jailhouse, them old rough, rugged criminals coming down with tattoos all over their body, 6'6", 300 pounds. I've seen them come down weeping like a baby and bow down and say, "Tell me the story of Jesus." I've seen them get saved by the grace of God. Next time you see them, son, they smiling so big you can stick a coat hanger in their mouth. Amen. I'm telling you, that's what a trip to Calvary will do for you. I'm talking about the touch of Calvary. He touched the soldiers. Luke 24, he touched the sinners. Two thieves were crucified. One of them said, "If thou be the Son of God." See, what happened was that sanctimonious crowd, they said, "If thou be the Son of God, save yourself." The sanctimonious said, "Save yourself." The self-righteous said, "Save yourself." The superstitious said, "Save yourself." Oh, but there's a sinner that day said, in essence, "Save me. Lord, remember me. When thou comest into thy kingdom," he must knew his king. You got to have a kingdom. If you're going to be a king, you got a kingdom. Amen. He must thought he was a king. He said, "When you come into your kingdom," you know what he said? He said, "We're getting what we deserve."
That's right.
Sounds like repentance to me.
I'm
wrong. He's right.
Yes, sir.
Sounds like repentance to me.
Right.
Lord, sounds like faith to me.
Amen.
Repentance and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He touched the sinners. And today, I believe, he wants to touch you.
Amen.
The touch of Calvary. Let's everybody stand, preacher. The touch of Calvary. You can stand, you can tell, and I can tell where I'm at with God by the way the preaching of the cross touches our hearts. How long has it been since you've been to Calvary? Say, "Lord, just want to thank you. Don't want to ask you nothing. I just want to thank you, Lord, for saving me." Have you ever been? I contend to you, if you've ever been to Calvary, you'll want to go back. I've always found what I needed when I made a trip to Calvary. Would you come this morning? Feel the touch of Calvary.